Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf lamed zayin. We're holding the bottom of lamed vav amid beis, 4 or 5 lines from the bottom of the amid, where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. What did we learn in the Mishnah on lamed hey amid beis? We had a madir and a mudar. The madir is not allowed to give hanoah to the mudar. However, it says at the end of the Mishnah, starting on the third line, but he's allowed to melamdu medrash halachas v'agadois. He's allowed to teach the mudar, even though he's not allowed to give hanoah. He's allowed to teach him medrash halachas v'agadois, but not avlo yelamdenu mikra benishka mikra. Avu melamdu is banavias benoisa mikra, but the children, the shenya, the children is not a problem because they're not the mudarim. He, the father, is the mudar. So medrash halachas v'agadois. Yes. Mikra, no. And the obvious question is, ma nishtana halayla zeh? What's the difference? Now, in terms of the actual substance of their learning, we already learned in the Ran, here on Lamed Hei Omid Beis, mitzvahs lav lehenois nitnu. So the fact that he is enriching this mudr by teaching him Torah, that doesn't count. Of course, mitzvahs are not lehenois nitnu. Good morning, David.
So she used the word enriching. It's a very telling word because it does. No,
that's what the Torah is all about. The person is enriched by learning Torah, 100%. But says our Mishnah, Mikra, you're not allowed. So what's the reason? What's the difference? So we're going to see now. The Gemara Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Zuk Gemara Mikra, my time aloy, 4 lines from the bottom. Why not Mikra? My time aloy yelamdeno Mishum de Kamahanile, because he's giving him Hanoah. Now, what is the Hanoah that we're talking about? Zok the Ran on the last line, kishein in noitel mimenu schar. Oh, there used to be a custom, or there is a custom, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, to go and pay a melamed to go and teach mikra, to go and teach chemish, teach Tanakh, and therefore that's the reason why he can't be melamed, because the kamahani lay, if he does it for free without taking a wage, without taking money, so then he's giving manah. Normally, you would go and charge $5, $10, $20, whatever, an hour to go and teach Mikra. If he's not going to charge, then he's Mahanilei. That's real money. That's why the Mishnah says he cannot teach Mikra. If that's the case, Medrash Namik Mahanilei. Medrash the same thing. Don't you alter charge for Medrash? What's the difference? Oh, we're talking about those types of places where they would charge for Mikra, and they would not charge for Medrash. And the obvious question is, my Pascha, where do you get that? Well, how did you be poisek and say, this place, yes, they do charge and they don't charge for Mikra, your Medrash Nish, what's going on? Says Yimah HaKamash, and I'll explain to you. That even those mekayimis where they do charge, in other words, the Gemara is telling us that there are many places where they do not charge at all for teaching Torah, whether it's mikra, medrash, halachas, agodish, zero. But in those places where they do charge, they only charge for the mikra. They don't charge for the medrash. And the question is, why? Again, manishtana. And the Gemara explains now. Maishno medrash taloy, tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Va'oisi tziva Hashem bo'isahi. Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded me at that time, l'lamed eschem, to go and teach you. And then, uksiv, is another Pasuk. Re'ei limadati eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem ulikoi. What's Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael again and again, Kashet Sivani, the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded me? The Ran explains, it's not that the Klal Yisrael had any pikpukim, which means they had any doubts that anything that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was a tzivit from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it says in the Pasuk, v'gam b'choyam minu li'olam, they're going to believe in you, Moshe Rabbeinu, with a munish lema, that you are a roya mehemna, that you were the real faithful shepherd of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything that you said is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they had no pikpukim, no doubts that was the case. So Ibazoi, so why does Moshe Rabbeinu say again and again, Re'eli marati eschem, kasher tzivani Hashem, and again, Vo'isi tziv Hashem, ba'isi ilalamed eschem. What is this all telling you? Says the Gemara, Ma'ani b'chinam af'atem nami b'chinam. What Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Tzivani, he commanded me to teach Klal Yisrael and not to take a penny from anyone for teaching. And therefore you, Klal Yisrael, when you teach Torah in future generations, it's also got to be b'chinam, it's got to be for free, don't charge money. And therefore, when the Madir is teaching the Mudar, the Medrash, halachas va'agodois, he's following this rule and he's not charging. And therefore, that's why he's allowed to go and teach, because the recipient, the Mudar, is not saving any money by not paying him, because nobody charges. And then the obvious question is, no, so what's the difference? Why is Mikra any different? Mikra Nami, it should also be Bechinam. And here we have now Machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Omar Schar Shimor, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Schar Pisuk Tamim. Rav says, to whom do you normally teach Mikra? To Ktanim, to youngsters. Youngsters, the reason why the Rebbe is charging is not so much for the substantive learning and knowledge, but it's for what we would call today babysitting services. We don't want these kids to run around, to run out of the room, run in the streets, and therefore he's charging not so much for learning with them, but for just keeping them under a roof so they don't run away. Therefore, that's the reason why normally a person does charge, and if in our situation he's not charging him, so then he's being mahanehim. Again, not the actual learning, the saving of the money that he would normally charge for learning with this individual. Which obviously sounds like, according to Rav, that the mudr of our Mishnah must be a katan, because if it's talking about that he's already a godoil, you don't have to do babysitting services for older individuals. And we'll talk about that momentarily. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the reason why you're allowed to charge is because schar pisuk tamim. What means schar pisuk tamim? That when you're teaching Mikra, it's not that you're just teaching the words and the explanation, but you're also teaching together with it the trop and the nekudos, exactly the way you're supposed to read each word and which words go together and which words you have to separate, and where the psukim end, where the psukim begin, where there's an esnachta, where there's a kadma v'yazla, all those things that go into trop and to grammar and all that, that is what Rabbi Yochanan holds is permissible to charge for. The reason why he holds that you're allowed to charge, as we'll see in the Gemara a little bit further, is because he holds that Pisuk Tamim is Dirabonon and not Dioraisa. Rav, however, holds that it is Dioraisa. Since Rav holds it's Dioraisa, so that just like Moshe Rabbeinu said about Medrash Halach V'Agodim Ani B'chinam Afatim Nami B'chinam, so then Mikra and Pisuk Tamim is also Mani B'chinam Afatim B'chinam. So that's why Rav has to come on to the time of Schar Shimur, that it's not for the learning, but rather it's for the babysitting. Mashenken, according to Rabbi Yochanan, no. Pisuk Tamim is Drabbanan. Since it's Drabbanan, the Torah, Moshe Beinu didn't say about that, Mani Bechinam Afatim Bechinam. He only said about the arises. Drabbanan that you already can charge for. And if the Madr is not going to go and charge the Mudr, then the Mudr is going to have a No'ah. And that's why our Mishnah distinguishes between Medrash Halacha V'Agodos and Mikra. Questions?
Earlier, in the case of the Hasheva Saveda, we said Tikol Hanal Hegdish.
Yeah.
Why don't we have the same remedy here?
Mm-hmm.
Why it's the same Mishnah, same period of time, mm-hmm. give the Hanal to Hegdish. Why don't we have it here? Here we have a case where we're at loggerheads, as you would say, mm-hmm. between what to do, this part saving the Hana, this one can't receive the Hana, so you basically defaulted to Hegdish. Mm-hmm. Hegdish, but why don't we do the same thing here?
Go and say that the person instead of not learning with him,
he learns with him, but the money, instead of going to the teacher, goes to Hegdish.
My assumption is that the same halacha would apply here too, but the Mishnah didn't have to repeat it each time.
No, but it doesn't. It's not saying it.
It doesn't. 100%. That's why the Mishnah did not need to repeat it. The Mishnah, since you've already learned the earlier part of the Mishnah, that in those cases when you're supposed to pay the person a wage, and that person says, no, thank you, you can hold on to it, but he can't hold on to it because he's having a knot, so we already learned before, the eitz is to go and give it to Hegdish. Presumably the same thing would be over here, but the Mishnah doesn't say it. You have a good point. Why doesn't it say?
I can say.
Yes, Mendy.
What? This is Al Meltzer.
Please.
You say in my Adidas, Yehurim Yitarim Shachemonais, Finland is safer, Zeh Beginais. Zeh Beginais seems superfluous. Zeh Beginais, it's a nice piece of tillim. He says, Shad, why is it much your teaching? Land is safer on the Tinnik, and Zeh Beginais, because teaching the Beginais. It's not on the Tinnik. Because the Neginas is mutter, it takes char.
Ah,
so on Shabbos, yes. The reason you can teach the one that's safer, the Tinaikis, is the Neginas. Because the Neginas,
the Nigin, it's a Tamim, right, meaning
right,
the drop.
Right, right.
That's good. It's Rabbi Yochanan, it's char pisik Tamim. Very good.
Shkoyach. It's about to teach your son, Yegmar Shabbos. You can teach your son, Unas on Shabbos, because she doesn't grow up to become a listening.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to have a little bit more about teaching on Shabbos. But in the meantime, we have now answered the Gemara's Kasha, Man Nishtana Medrash Halachas Yagodois, from Mikra. Two answers. Rav says, Mikra is, you're not paying for the learning of the Mikra, it's for the babysitting service, and the Kuntra B'yoichanan is because you're teaching the Rabbonans, which are not covered by the Mani B'chinam Af Atam Nam B'chinam. So before we continue on, there's the famous question, how do yeshivas and how do rabbeim charge for their services today? What's the answer?
For the preparation.
Okay, so if you look at the Ran about halfway down the Gemara, it says Ula Inyan Halacha Chayim Ulan Hachi Dala Medrash LeSharilim Mishkol Miu Hani Mili Schar Limud. To go and teach Medrash, you're not allowed. To. Aval Agar Betela Shari. You're allowed to go and teach for the unemployment, for the bittul. Meaning that every Rebbe, the reason why he's allowed to go and charge for his services, and he gets paid by the Talmidim, and by the tuition, and by the yeshiva, is because he's not charging for teaching, he's charging for not going to work as a computer programmer, or not going to work as a,
Shemek Shuan
on 47th Street to do diamonds, he's not in real estate, he's not a doctor, he's not a lawyer. Rather, he could l'choyre have gone into any of those other businesses or professions, and so therefore we pay him for bittul, for foregoing other opportunities to work. V'achis b'shalmi, he brings Rabbi Shalmi, and that's the heter today, everywhere that the rebbeim go and take money for giving the shiurim and for drushes and for teaching children, etc. So getting back to our gemara now tonight. Back in our Mishnah, it says, "Le'yamdena mikra," that the mother is not allowed to teach mikra to the mutter. It's bishlam l'mani yamischar pisuktam handed le'yamdena. We just said, "Now you're not allowed to go and teach mikra because he's getting a benefit. You're allowed to teach. I'm sorry, you're allowed to charge for teaching pisuktam since it's under rabbanon, and he's not charging. So therefore, don't teach." L'mani yamar schar shimur. If you're telling me schar shimur, which is babysitting. Godol bar shimur hu is a godol bar shimur, meaning that the Gemara assumed that when we're talking about a mother and a mother, presumably the mother is a godol, and if he's a godol, so why can't the mother go and learn together with the mother mikra? You don't charge for teaching mikra to gedolim, just like you don't charge for teaching medrash halachas va godolis to gedolim. You're not allowed to charge. The only heter to go in charge for mikra is only if you're teaching ktanim. But if you're teaching a godol, there's no babysitting service there. So that being the case, right, the Gemara, why does the Mishnah prohibit teaching mikra? Ever the Gemara, bikatan ktani. Even though it doesn't say in our Mishnah, but that's what the Mishnah is talking about, where the mudar is a katan, and that's why you cannot go and teach him, because you're going to benefit him by not charging. Frank Gemara Eber Kata. Really, a Mishnah to Mara Kata? Eber Sefer, continue on the Mishnah. Avu Malamed is Bonov Mikra. You're allowed to go and teach the children Mikra. Frank Gemara, if you're telling me that the Mudr in our Mishnah is a Kata, how would he have Bonov? Cotton bar Bonimu. Can a cotton of 10 years old, 12 years old, who needs a babysitter, can he have children? Come on, that's ridiculous. Says Gemara, you have a good point. Machzer, you have to do a little bit of surgery on the end of the Mishnah. And you have to start again. Lo yilamdenu mikra. You're not allowed to go and teach mikra. When? Bekotan. If it's a cotton. Because a cotton, you can charge for services. And if you're going to forego those charges, you're being mahanehim. However, im hoye godoil, if he's a godoil melamdoil, then that's no problem. And not only melamde loy for him, but even a lebanov mikra. Even the children, you're allowed to go and teach mikra. But aren't you benefiting him with the banav situation? The banav are, if assuming that they're tanim, you're allowed to charge, and he's foregoing the charge. Aren't you being mahana then? So the Ran tells us it's no different than giving food to the children. Now, what's the din about? If you want to look at the Ran, yes. The fourth white line, Imhoyim Godoil Melamed Loy Laban of Mikra Zokteran Loy Doy Boy Shimmer, because he's a Godoil. Laban of Nami, Afagav the Boy Shimmer, even though they would require babysitting, Loy Mitzer Tfei, it's not any worse than, and therefore it's not more usher than Mizon Ezbana Viesbanoisav, going and giving food to the children of the Mudr. Well, is giving food to the children of the Mudr, is that permissible? We haven't seen that yet, but if you turn for a moment to tomorrow's blot, the Flamet Ches, you'll see there's a Mishnah all the way at the bottom of the Yomud, and the Mishnah begins, V'zon es ishtoi v'ezbonov, afo pishu chai mezoinoyisan. You are allowed to go and give mezoinus to the wife of the Mudr and the children of the Mudr. No, if you're allowed to go and give food to the children of the Mudr, so then you're allowed to go and teach them Mikra as well. So, that's what our mission now after the surgery says. We're talking about a katan. So therefore there is no, you're not allowed to go and teach the katan mikra because he's saving money, because otherwise you'd be charging for babysitting. However, if that mudr is a gadol, then melamdoi, just like you're allowed to teach a medrash halacha v'agada, because the Torah asers prohibits you from charging. That's like Moshe Rabbeinu Mani, b'chinam avatam, b'chinam. And you're also allowed to teach the banim because they're no better or no worse than the case of giving mezoinus of the next Mishnah and Yetzirim tomorrow. Frey Gemara Meisvei, Tinoikis loy koirin batchila b'Shabbos, elishoinin b'rishay. When it comes Shabbos Kodesh, and you're teaching Tinoikis, don't teach them new materials. Don't teach them chidushim, new things that they have not learned until now. But elishoinin b'rishay, what you can do is you can do chazara. Shoinim means to repeat, barishan, something that they've already learned at least one time. So don't start on something new, but you can go and do a repeat chazora on Shabbos. Now the question is, what's the difference? Manishtana the first time, the second time? And the Gemara explains. Then I understand why you're not allowed to go and teach them for the first time the, what did Mendy tell us, Lam Natzeach ben Ginois, the Negina, the Trop, the Pisuk Tamim. I understand why there's a difference between the first time and the second time. Well, why do I understand the difference? Says the Ran, because the Minig was that they only charged for teaching the first time. Chazora is considered to be, you know, you're just reviewing, and they didn't charge for the review. If you look at the Ran down below, that's the sixth line of the wide lines. The ikar that they charge schar is on the kriya rishayin the first time. Shetarucha meruba or tircha meruba. That's a big tircha. It explains something brand new that you've never learned before. I want to teach. Until now, we only learned mapach pashta. But now we're going to learn Kadma V'Yazla. We're going to learn a Pozer. And a Shalshalis. It's something brand new. So you teach, you charge for the Tichyas. Meruba. U'mishamachi ein kar b'tchil b'Shabbos, d'schar Shabbos oser. It's Shabbos, you're not allowed to go and charge for your services on Shabbos. Avoshoinim b'rishoin, mishum de'achazora l'shakli agra. When it comes to Chazora, typically the Rebbeim didn't go and charge for their services. So, the first time you're not allowed to go and teach them Schar Pisuk Tamim on Shabbos because you're going to charge, Schar Shabbos is awesome. Since they don't charge for review and for Chazara, no problem, he's not going to charge during the week, he's not going to charge on Shabbos, no issue about charging. So says Gemara, then I understand why there's a difference between one and the other. But if we're getting back to the Gemara, Bishlam Lamandiyomar, Inkorim Betchil B'Shabbos, El Lamandiyom Schar Shimur, Amai Inkorim Betchil B'Shabbos, Vamai Shoilim Barikshain, Ho Ikeschar Shimur de Shabbos. In other words, the Gemara is asking is, if the reason according to Rav, that you're charging by Ketanim, is not because of Pisuk Tamim, but it's because for babysitting. So what difference does it make whether you're learning with them for the first time, or whether you're learning with them for the 10th time Chazara? It's still the babysitting services that you want to make sure that these kids are not running outside and getting into fights or getting into trouble or chas v'shalom, other problems. So it's for babysitting. So that being the case, what difference does it make whether it's the first time or the second time or the third time? Going on to the next run. Eleman diomer schar shimur amai ein kairin. 4 lines from the bottom. Kelaimer mai ikab bepain rishayna lishnia. Hari eschar einoi ela ala shimur. V'chi heichi de ikas shimur batchila. Hachanami ikas shimur kishishayin. What difference is there going to make in watching over these kids when they're learning for the first time or they're learning for the 12th time? It's all the same. He's not charging for the teaching. He's charging for the babysitting. So, Ibazoi, what difference would it make? The Gabi Shabbos, Char Shabbos. So before the Gemara answers the question, the Gemara asks back rhetorically, for the Tamach, and even according to you that you hold, thing, but Schar Pisuk Tamach, Schar Pisuk B'Shabbos, Mi Osur, why is there a problem in teaching for the first time Pisuk Tamim on Shabbos? We're assuming that this Malamed is not just teaching on Shabbos, but he teaches during the week as well, and Shabbos is just one of 7 days where he teaches. So isn't that Havlahi, that he's not going to charge specifically and expressly for teaching on Shabbos? It's going to be part of the package of his salary, meaning he gets paid L'mashal per week or per month. And so therefore, whatever he does on Shabbos, his bavlo, is swallowed up as part of the general salary that he receives. Bavlo mishra shari. How do I know that havlo is mishra shari? Not tanya, we learned in the price. Ha'soiches ha'poyel lishmor es ha'tinik. If you hired someone to go and do babysitting for a tinik, for a child, for a baby. Lishmor es ha'para, or to go and watch a para. Or lishmor says is right. Now, why does the Braisa give these three interesting cases, Tinnik, Para, and Zrayim? So the Ran says it's much deeper than we think. The Tinnik is not the babysitting that we were talking until now, but this is related to Para Aduma. Yes. The Vusa be Para Aduma. Yeah. So let's look at the Ran, 3 lines at the bottom. Lishmur is a Tinnik. Show you Megadlan Tinoikois Bachatzerois Habenuyois Algabe Hasela Menekebra Atahoin. As we know, because of the machloikis that our the Rabbanan had against the Tzedokim, where the Tzedokim were a big machmirim when it comes to Hilchais Paraduma, and they said that the Paraduma has to dafka be done with a person who's totally tahir, and a person who's a tful yoim is possible to be involved in the manufacture, and the burning, and the spritzing of the Paraduma. So, the Chacham, especially to go and show you Tzedokim are wrong, they would especially go and be metame someone, have him go to the mikveh. Now he's a Tful Yoyim, and they would say, Tful Yoyim, mutim b'Paraduma. But they were concerned about there would be a backlash. The people would say, oh, you see, Paraduma is not so special. Even a Tful Yoyim can be involved, blah, 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 blah. So that they shouldn't be mekel. They threw in about 1,000 different chumras. Many malice and chumras of people should realize Paraduma, that's really heavy duty stuff. And therefore, they had special neighborhoods in Yerushalayim where they'd be megadol tenoikos, altaris hakodesh, literally, that they would be prohibited from ever getting even close to a mess. They would never be tummy in their lives. How would that benefit them? So that when they get a little bit older, they become of sufficient age, they'll be able to go and draw the water from the Mayan down below. Those are special waters that we use. That's the Mayan Chaim El Keli that they would add to the Efer HaPara, to the ash, mix it together, and that would then be your Para Aduma solution for those people that unfortunately are Tamei Mess. Okay, so now to Megadol families in those special neighborhoods, that was a costly event, so they would be able to go and, if a person would go and hire a poyel lishmor as a tinoik, that he should stay put in his neighborhood. Or lishmor apara, says the Ran, para aduma, presumably that the para aduma shouldn't get a moment, shouldn't get
worked with.
Exactly. So, you have to have shmira for that. What's the zroim, says the Ran? We're talking about zroim that are going to be used for bringing the korban to oimer. So you want to go and be mishamer those, because the Ketziris Oimer, as you know, has to be done Motzi Yom Tov Pesach. It can't be done earlier. So you have to make sure that there is a bunch of barley which is standing, which is roy for a carbon, and which will not be harvested earlier. So they had a Shoimer for that. So it says now in the Braisa, getting back to the Gemara, the San Yasoich HaSapoy, Lishmur is HaTinoik, or Lishmur is HaPara, or Lishmur is HaZroim, Ein Noisel Nois Char Shabbos. For the work that he does on Shabbos in the Shmira of the Tinnik, the part of the Zrayim, you're not going to pay him for that, because Chag Shabbos is awesome. Laficha, but what you can do is, Im Avdu, no, I'm sorry, Lafichach, therefore, im avdu, if there was an aveda on Shabbos, in other words, if some of this got lost, right? The paraduma, for instance, got lost, and therefore normally would say, oh, I'm paying you for it. You're a shoy mesachar. You're chai b'gnev aveda. But since on Shabbos you're not paying him,
his employment suspended,
and he becomes a shoy mechinim for that day.
As long as it's posheh, and it's not posheh, he's out.
Exactly. So look at the top run. Top line, in Nevdu b'Shabbos, the Kimnu le'shokel agr b'Shabbat, he's not taking any wage. Havel le'shem mechinam, Hashem mechinam is potter b'gneva v'aveda, so him avdu, or for that matter, if somebody decided to steal the paraduma, that's a major neches to go and steal, that's worth a lot of money. Ein echai b'chiyusan, you're not going to be chai b'chrayis because you're only a shem mechinam and not a shem mesach.
Try to sell that paraduma, good luck.
What happens if this person is not just working on Shabbos, but he's Schir Shabbos means that he works for the entire week. Schir Chodesh, he works for the entire month. Schir Shana, for the entire year. Schir Shavua, for the entire Shemitah. It doesn't say that he only gets paid once every 7 years. That wouldn't be a very adequate way for a person to support himself and his family. But the point is that he has either a short-term or a long-term contract, which includes also the Shabbos. So he's not getting paid specifically for Shabbos, he's getting paid for the week. He gets once a week, he gets a salary, or once a month, or once a year, or gets multiple salaries. But the point is that he's not just working on Shabbos, he's working throughout a longer period of time. Then you're allowed to go and give Schar Shabbos, and therefore the Fichach. If that's the case, im avdu, if it does get lost on Shabbos, chai b'chriyusan. He would be chai b'chriyus because he would be a shoy mesachar after all. Okay, so now that we have this brisa, now the Gemara is getting back to what we're talking about, and that is the inyan of the
learning,
the teaching of the children on Shabbos, where we said, children on Shabbos, you're not allowed to teach them a dover chidush, but you're allowed to go and do chazara. And we asked if the reason why you're paying. Okay, so then we said initially the kasha was, according to the mandiyama that holds schar shimur, that you're doing it for babysitting. So what difference does it make whether it's the first time, the second time, the 12th time? But the pisik tamim lechayir is okay because you only charge for the first time pisik tamim because that's a new chidush. You don't charge for sitting around for chazara. Freit yimora. But if you're talking about on Shabbos, since these Malamdim teach the whole week, so they're doing the Havlah, so what would be the difference again between the first time and the tenth time? They're not getting paid for Shabbos. They're getting paid for the whole week. So, Manishtana, well, what's the problem? Says Imar, you're 100% right. And the Gabi Shabbos, the reason why we do not allow to go and teach new things on Shabbos has nothing to do with Schar Shabbos, Schar Shimur, Schar Pisuk Tamim, but rather Haida Tama, the Inkorim Betchila, Mishim de Yifnu, Avosoin, the Anuki, Le Mitzvosa de Shabbata. Because it was the custom, and hopefully in all homes today it's still the custom, that fathers want to spend time with their children. After all, throughout the week the fathers are busy. On Shabbos they have time to spend time with their children, so they shouldn't go and read the newspaper or go to sleep the whole Shabbos, but rather they should go and take the children, Yankala Berala, play with them a little bit, go over the Chumash that they learned, the Mishnayos, with their boys, with their girls. They should spend time with their children.
Can you translate the word Yafnu?
Yafnu is from Lashon from Pnai, that they go and make time available to learn with their kids. Also, you have in the expression, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, if somebody is a bad person, poina ani mikol asokai. Poina means that I turn away from all of my other business, says Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Chas V'Shalom are going to go and punish this person. So therefore, the word yifnu, poinim, and panai are all related, which means that the person devotes time specially for these purposes. So if you look at the Ran on the fifth line, the yifnu avuhain, the anuka l'mitzvasa de Shabbat, zok the Ran, she'ovis atinoikis, poinim le mitzvah Shabbos, they are setting aside time for the mitzvah Shabbos. What does that include? Umishtashin im hatinoikis, that they play and they spend time with their children. V'im yikru hatinoikis lechatchila, if however there's going to be cheder on Shabbos like you have throughout the week, and the melamdim are going to teach them new materials, yochosh levitulam. So then the fathers are going to say, I don't want to be mevatel my son. I don't want him to come in tomorrow on Sunday and he will not have learned the Shabbos lesson, and then he's going to be behind the times and he's going to be handicapped. He didn't learn yesterday. Everybody else in the class was there, and so therefore they're doing chazara, and he didn't learn it the first time yet. It'll be terrible. So what's he going to do? He's going to send this tinnik to Cheder, to the Melamed, to teach him. And guess what happens? Then he's going to lose out on this special family time that he wants to spend with his children for the mitzvah of Shabbos, of learning with them, of playing with them, of spending time with them. So that was the concern. If they're learning something new, the fathers are going to say, no, I got to send them to Cheder, he's got to learn. But if it's review, no, he already learned it on Thursday or Friday. So the review, I'll do the review, where he'll remember it, he has a good head, you know. So, nishkeferlech, if he misses a review, that's why you can have the Malamed teaching the review on Shabbos, but not something new, because it'll spoil family time. V'yibo yaseim anocha pshat, mishum b'shabata, achlen v'shosin v'yakir aleihen alma. Because when people eat and drink on Shabbos, they typically eat and drink more, and they're sitting at a meal, and therefore, yakar lein alma means that their evorim become kovet, become heavy. And you may not know this from your own personal experience, but there are homes where the fathers in particular fall asleep at the meal, or right after the meal, they look in a sefer, and it doesn't take 10 seconds, and they fall asleep, because they've eaten and drunk so much, the body, its digestive system is working overtime to digest everything and takes away all of the blood from throughout the rest of the body, and therefore the mind starts falling asleep. So let's look at the next round. V'yakar alein alma alatinoikis shemitoich she'ochlu yoisim imasha darken lechol b'choil. Even the children, throughout the week they don't eat that much, but Shabbos, they're eating the cholent and the kegel and the fish and the flesh and this and the other thing. So what happens? They become a little bit, if you will,
drowsy.
Evoreim kvedim, the evorim, that's their whole body becomes heavy. Alein, ve'nichon l'lmoid betchila, she'tzorech iyun meruba. If you're learning something new, then you have to have, you know, your full attention to it. But if the person is evorim kvedim, where his body is heavy because it's digesting all the food, so then it's very hard to concentrate on something new. You'd be drowsy, etc. But something you're just reviewing, a review, that's relatively easy to do. So even though you may be drowsy, but that you don't have to give it all of your koiches. And continues the Gemara, Kid Omer Shmuel, like we had Shmuel, we had this back in the end of Masechtas Ksubas, that Shmuel said that Shinui Vazes Tchilas Choylei Me'ayin. Anytime you change your normal pattern of eating, then that it only can lead to possibilities of intestinal and stomach issues. And Barry will remind us, why is Shmuel the one that tells us this?
He's a doctor.
Because Shmuel was a doctor. So Shmuel knew very well about a person's biology and his whole how all of the different devarim work in sync. And so therefore, if the person has eaten differently than usual, the body is in overtime to deal with that situation, and therefore that takes away, drains the blood, etc., from the brain, etc. Good. Zotimar. Fine, so we've now explored and explained why on Shabbos you should not teach the Tanoik is something new. The Gemara initially thought it had to do with Schar Shabbos, because you're giving a wage. And then the Gemara said, no, the reason is because we want family time, that the fathers should spend time with the children. And then the next reason is because we want them to have their full mental capabilities and faculties to be able to go and learn on Shabbos. Says the Gemara weiter, but let's understand, why is there a machloikis on the Yomer Aleph? We said, why are you not allowed to go? Why are you allowed to charge for teaching Mikra? Rav said Schar Shimur for babysitting services, and Rabbi Yochanan said because of Pisuk Ta'amim, because you're teaching the Negina, you're teaching the Trub, etc. So Frank the Gemarietz, why doesn't Rav learn like Rabbi Yochanan? Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan learn like Rav? Ulaman Yom Schar Pisuk Ta'amim, which was Rabbi Yochanan. My Tamil Yom Schar Shimur. Aren't you right? Schar Shimur is the same thing here, that babysitting, that's an excellent reason for charging. And for the Gemara, Kosover Bonois, Miko Bayin Shimur. What the Gemara is telling us is they used to go and charge not only for boys, but also for teaching girls Mikra. Oh, if they were teaching girls Mikra, they don't need babysitting services. The boys are rambunctious. The boys run around, go, come. The girls stay home. Called Kudabas Melech Penima. Ain Darkin Lotzik. Let's take a look at the Ram. The Ran starts off in the bold font, Godol mi boi shimur. However, that's not our girsa. In fact, the Ran immediately begins, Kachi hagirsa mixes nuschois. But skip down 10 lines, the ikanaschi de garsi, which is our nusach, Bono is mi boi shimur. Vachi parach. Vade kol hecha de tana tona hamudr hanome chaveroi. Since our Mishnah talks about a madr and a mudr, we don't discriminate. It's bein ish mashma. That you can have a man who is madra no from a woman or from a girl and say, I'm not going to have, not going to give you any more hano. You're such a bad girl. I'm not going to give you any hano. How can the Mishnah say, lo yam ven a mikra, you can't go and teach mikra chumish. Nehi the muk misla be cotton. Okay, so the one the Amid Aleph said, we're not talking about a god, we're talking about a cotton. And the reason why a cotton is because of the schar shimur. Tainer bonim ktanim de bo shimur. You got to watch over them, babysitting. Obviously, we're talking about a different society and a different culture than we have today. But the girls were not those running around outside like the boys. So the boys, you had to be careful babysitting, because who knows what might have happened, chas v'shalom, to these boys. But the girls stayed home anyway. So they don't need the babysitting services. And nevertheless, it says in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to go and teach them mikra. So it must be for another reason. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says the reason is because schar pisuk tamim, and not because of... By boys, I agree, this schar shimur. But since the Mishnah is also talking about banois, by banois, the tam of shimur would not apply. So schar pisuk tamim.
Excuse me, so we had you mentioned within the Mishnah, there are some who are not goris banos.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to the Gemara that we should be goris banos.
Yes,
so how would those who don't goris banos explain this Gemara? It seems directly on point that banos was part of the Mishnah.
Absolutely. So what you have to say is, not like the Ran, they probably learn that there was a brisa that also expanded upon the lashon of our Mishnah and said that the same thing applies not only to banim, also to banos. That's number one. But number two, what you're referring to is the end of the Mishnah, which is a Mlamed who is bon of yes, Benoisev Mikra. However, our Gemara is not focusing on that. Benoisev, you could theoretically learn our Mishnah without those words, a Mlamed who is bon of Mikra, because what we're referring to is the initial teaching him of Mlamed, going back, Medish, Umlamde Medish Allah Zagodas Avalo Yilamdenu Mikra. And the Gemara said, who's the Yilamdenu? If it's talking about a Godoil, so why can't you go and teach a mikra? There's no schar shima for the gadol. So remember, the Gemara said, according to Rav, it's talking about a cotton. And then the Gemara said, a cotton, how can a cotton have banav ubenoisa? And for the Gemara, it's talking about a situation, mechsuri machsra. Then if it's a cotton, lo yalam dan a mikra, because schar shima. And if it happens to be a gadol, then you are allowed to teach not only him, but even his children. Now, if you'll notice, the Gemara that we learned here on the Amud Aleph today, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, when the Gemara was quoting from our Mishnah, in fact, it left out those words. If you go back again to the middle of the Amud, Elamad Yomer Schar Shimur Godol Bar Shimur, everything more be cotton katani, right? The beginning of the line, be cotton katani. Faith you want to be cotton, name a seifa, Amalamid Es Bonov Mikra. Why did you say Bonov Mikra? Isn't he leaving out V.S. Benoisev?
Yes.
So instead of asking Kasha here on the gear set, you have to learn Benoisev. You see here on the Amid Aleph, right. He leaves out Benoisev. Nishkeferlich, Loshen Nidor Mishuna, number one. And number two, the Gemara very often is not going to repeat the entire thing. If you remember, the Mishnah says that you can go and teach Medish Halachas Vagodais. Throughout the Gemara, they never mentioned Halachas Vagodais. When we started, we said, Mikra my time, Allah Yalam, then a Mishnah, Mikra Hanilei, Medrish Nami, Kama Hanilei. Theoretically, the Gemara could have said, Medrish Allah, okay. The Gemara is Mekatzir, it doesn't bring the entire Lashon.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, bottom line is,
like Rabbi Yochanan, right?
Yeah, so Gemara says now, why does Rabbi Yochanan say, because Chashimur, because of Banis. Frank the Gemara yet, Ulaman the Omer, Chashimur, my time, the Omer, Schar, piece of Tamim, the Chay Rabbi Yochanan is right if you hold Pschar Pisik Tamim is the Rabbanon. So it's not included Mani Bachinam of Atta Bachinam. And for the more Kosovar, Pisik Tamim is the Eraisahu. He holds like a Pisik Tamim is Menat Torah. And therefore we have a Machloikis. Are the trope that we use in learning and laning the Torah, is that Menat Torah or is that Midrabanan? We say Midrabanan. It's certainly not from later Chazal. Maximum we're talking about is, as we'll see in the Gemara, in a moment, it could be from Takanas Ezra. But if it's Takanas Ezra, Abla Mais, it's still not from Moshe Rabbeinu. If it's not from Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's not covered by the Manani Bechinam. So that's the machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, or the Pisik Tamid Deraisa, not Mid Deraisa. Therefore, if it's Deraisa, it's no different than Medrash Halacha Vagod. If you can't teach that, you can't teach that. If you have to come on to Schar Shimur. If you hold that it's Mid Rabbanon, then you don't need the Talmud Schar Shimur. Rabban is not covered by Mani Bechinam. The Omer of Ikabar Abed, Omer of Chanan, Omer Rav Maidich Siv. I have a Pasik. This Pasik is a Pasik in the Chania. You have the Torah or Asholim number one. Now you have it, I know. What's the Pasik? But Yikru b'sefer Torah b'Torah asuelikim. They learned in the Torah, and what did they learn in the Torah? Mefoirash, v'soy mesechel, v'yaminu b'mikra. Now, what do those words mean? Mefoirash, v'soy mesechel, v'yavinu b'mikra. And now the Gemara explains. Back to the Gemara. Ma'idachsit v'yikru b'sefer Torah asuelikim. Mefoirash, v'soy mesechel, v'yavinu b'mikra. V'yikru b'sefer Torah asuelikim zeh mikra. That means that they learned the mikra, they learned the parsha, they learned the words of the Torah. Mafoidish the Targum, that they learn Targum together with it, says the Ran, the Mafarish lay the cross, you should understand what you're saying. You learn the Targum, now I understand. Visam Sechel, Elu Hapsukim. Now, what does that mean, the Psukim? So let's learn again here the Ran, Elu Hapsukim. Nekudois Hamafsikois bein Posik leposik. How do you know where to stop every single Posik? So the word Psukim means that the Posik ends, that's Nifsak. If you end the pasuk, then you start the next one. The korilu, I'm sorry?
Sof pasuk,
very good. The korilu hu same sechel, how does it get this fancy name, same sechel? She'al yedeyen, or the maven hamikra, as a result of knowing where the pasuk begins and where the pasuk ends, then you understand the mikra, kefit nuas hatanim, according to the way that you read it with the nigunim, with the drop, etc. So the point is, that is what the Gemara is saying is part of the Seim Sechel, and we're going to have another Yivina B'mikra in another moment. Seim Sechel Elu HaPsukim, where the Psukim begin and end, because that also gives you a better Havana, better understanding of what the Pasuk is coming to tell you. Don't crunch the psukim together because then it might not make sense. So that's Elu psukim. Vavina b'ikra zeh pisuk tamim. Oh, that pisuk tamim, what we've been talking about all along for the last 20-25 minutes, the pisuk tamim is the negina, the nigun, the trop. How do you divide up the words? Before we talk about dividing up the psukim, all of that is part of the Vavina b'mikra, so you should understand the pasuk correctly. The amr the other say Elu hamesoyrois. What means hamesoyrois? It says the Ran mashenimse b'mesoyrim. That's what is not, doesn't say anywhere in the Torah expressly, but we have a mesoyrim. And in fact, even today there is something known as a sefer hamesoyra, which you can go and buy in good sforim stores. In some chumashim, they're included in the chumash itself, either on the page or in the back, what the mesoyra is. And the mesoyra is what the Gemara is going to explain now in a moment. Those are Kri Ksivs and Ksiv Kris, as we will see in a moment. Anyway, so according to this Mandi Amar, he holds, although this is a Pasuk in Nechemiah, however, this Pasuk in Nechemiah is telling about what they learned at that time based on Minhagim and the way they learned until that time, which presumably went all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu's times, and therefore he's saying that the Pisuk Tamim is in fact the Araisa. It was not invented or created at the times of Ezra, but it was already from previous generations.
Targum is Unklus. No, so I'm saying so, but Unklus lived much later than Ezra. Mm-hmm. So first of all, what's this Targum? And secondly, if Targum, you didn't need Targum in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone was, there was no, it wasn't Aramaic, it was, everything was Lashon HaKadosh.
Well, Bayer Heite, if you taught it in 70 Lashonis. So one of the...
Okay, it was Aramaic, okay, alright. But, so, how, this is, can't be Targum Unklus, though.
Not Unklus, is it?
Some type of a Targum.
Okay. Exactly, a Targum, exactly right. Rav Yitzchak, so now since we talked about the Mesoyrais, from here to the end of the Amid into the Amid Aleph, we're going to talk a little bit about the Inyan of the Mesoyrais. So Rav Yitzchak. Mikra Sofran, Ve'ita Sofran, Ukriyan V'lai Ksivan, Uksivan V'lai Kriyan, all of this is Allah HaMoshe Mesinai.
It's the Raisa then, that's not a Rabbanan.
Exactly. So that's in fact the Pasuk that we just brought, that the Masoirois, assuming that that includes all of these things, it's Halacha L'moish V'Sinai, it's Diraisa.
Right.
And that's what the Gemara began, that Rav said, why do I say Schashim, or why don't I agree with Rabbi Yochanan Pisak Tanin?
Because he says it's Halacha L'moish V'Sinai, it's Diraisa.
Exactly. Okay. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Zok the Gemara, or he holds a piece of tamim is not included in these four categories. We'll see what. So we have four categories: mikra sofrim, iter sofrim, kiryum leksivan, ksivan lekriya. So what are those? Mikra sofrim is eretz, and the Bach adds the word oretz, eretz, oretz, shemayim mitzrayim. Then what does that mean? Eretz, oretz, shemayim mitzrayim. So if you look at the Ran tells us on mikra sofrim eretz oretz, two lines before the wide lines. Shekishyesh boy asnachta. Nikra Eretz Bekomatz. You don't say Eretz and you say Oretz. Oh, how do you know that sometimes you say Eretz and sometimes you say Oretz? That's the Mikra Sofrim, that's part of Lachlam which we see tonight. Where do you put your Esnachta? Where do you put your Sof Pasuk? That's all included in that. Now, what's Shemayim and Mitzrayim? Zog Tuch Deran, Shemayim Mitzrayim, Sha'afu Bisha Ein Behem Aleph. Even though there's no aleph in the word of Shamayim or Mitzrayim, Nikroim ki'ilu hoisebehem. You're wondering, what does that mean? You don't say Shamayim or Mitzrayim. What does he mean? Because just looking at the word alone, as you know, in our Sefer Torah, there are no nekudais. So you could read it Shamim or Mitzrim. How do you get it to be Shamayim with such an asal and Mitzrayim with such an outside? So that's what the Gemara means when he's, what's what the Ran means when he says Aleph. The Aleph typically gave the asal. Even in Yiddish today, when you don't write Nekudos, if you want to go and put in a, you want to give it O oh, or an A sound, you put in an Aleph. And if you want to give it an E sound, then you put in an I. So that's the same type of concept. So that, how do you know to read it Shamayim Mitzrayim and not Shomim or Mitzrim? You know that from Microsoft.
So it's the patach that's really not the aleph. It's effectively it's a patach.
Yes,
you
right.
Said a patach. You read a patach in there. You subtitle a patach in there.
It wouldn't only be a patach also that you put in a leader chirik,
right,
because otherwise you might have made shoman as one maim as just as the pasach. So you have the pasach with something under the yud.
Right.
Good. All part of mikrosof. Then we get to itisafram. Itisafram is a little bit more. I don't want to say complicated, but it's a little bit. Yeah, what is that? Iter Sofrim says, the Gemara gives him about five or six different examples. Acher Tavoyru, Acher Teilech, Acher Tiyosef, Kidmu Shorim, Acher Noignim, Tzidkosel Kahari Ker. Now, the Ran explains the first three and first four in one category. Let's look at the Ran, first wide line, Iter Sofrim, Acher Tavoyru, Acher Teilech, Acher Tiyosef, Kidmu Shorim, Acher Noignim, Kolhani Acher, all of these Achers, the Acher Tavoyru, Acher Teilech, all of them I'm Yutarim, they're all extra, superfluous. The Einon El Teferis Alosh is really just to go and make, if you want, a little bit more poetic. The Havalei Lemichta, they could have said, Sadu Libchem V'Tavoyru. Why does it say Sadu Libchem V'Acher Tavoyru? Or by Miriam Tisog Yeshivas Yomim V'Teyosef. Why does it say V'Acher Teyosef? Kin Mushorim Noignim. The Shorim, those that sing, come before Noignim, those are the musicians, those Negina. So the Shorim come before Noidim. So why does it have to go and say Kadmu Shorim and then Acher Noidim? El Shenichtu the Tveres Haloshim to go and add a certain degree of beauty and elegance to the language. So these real words are really unnecessary. Kadosh Baruch Hu threw them in to make it sound much more pleasant and more poetic.
If it's in the Tanakh, if it's in the Chumash, it's Midaraisa.
100%. All of this is the Halacha L'moish V'Sinai.
Okay, this is Rabbi Yitzchak, okay.
Yeah, the Halacha L'moish V'Sinai is the fact that when Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, unfortunately, art scroll had not been created yet. So therefore, they didn't have any art scroll, Chumashim, or Tanakhs. Everything was given by Mesoira. So the Nekudois were Mesoira, which words were added all Mesoira, and also the part of the point of this Gemara is that although typically we think that every single word in the Torah has an intrinsic importance for halacha, and therefore that's why you have all these gzeir shavus and all these kal v'chomers and all these hekeshim, the Gemara is telling you sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu threw it for teferis and not necessarily for halacha. It's a little bit more than where other Gemara say Dibatari Kalosha Mnei Adam. That's Mamish Mnei Adam, which the Gemara considers to be a court of last resort.
Right.
You usually wouldn't say that. But for Teferis, that's Halacha Mishina. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that these words should go and improve and expand on and make glorious and beautify, exactly, enhance the Lashon. Fine. Then we get to Tzidkoscha Harekel. Our Tillim and our Siddur on Shabbos says Tzidkoscha Ki Harekel. What do you need the Chof for? Says the Ran. Havli Luchta Tzidkoscha Harekel. Kirachsiv Mishpatecha Tehoim Rabbah. It doesn't say Mishpatecha. Ki Tehoim Rabbah. So the pasuk in its entirety is referring to Malachim, and it's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzidkus doesn't only extend to Bnei Adam or Lahavdil to Behemoths or to things growing. Even the Malachim have to have the tzidkus Hashem to go and preserve them and to protect them. So that's the Harekel is referring to those all the way up above the Malachim. There, the tzedakah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes even to them, to the Harekel. Why does that say Ki Harekel? It could say Harekel. You're right, it's only the Tveres HaLoshen. I'm not sure how the Chof adds Tveres HaLoshen, but it's again an improvement, a beautification of the language. And then
it connects it to the Tzidkoscha. Yeah. The end of Tzidkoscha is a Chof, final Chof. And then the Chaf.
Okay.
And so it connects it. It extends the Tzidkoscha.
Another Chaf. Okay.
Right. So it's
good. So that's the enhancement. Udibre Moiri Reisi says the Ran. I saw another pshat. Dita Soif from Heinisha Koisvim Tam Mafsik Biachar. In each one of these cases, Achat Tavoira Achat Telechu, is a psik. Psik is like a vertical line in the middle of the pasik, which is not something that you pronounce. It's not a drop. But nevertheless, it tells you, make a very, very, very short stop.
Like a comma.
And exactly, like a comma, and then continue on. So that when you have the case of v'sadu libchem v'acher tavoiru, so by v'acher, stop, and then tavoiru. What does that come to tell us? Achach telech, v'achach tavoiru. V'achach tiosef. And kod mushar v'achach noinim. Tzidkosu kare, nifsak betam, ki hare memilas keil. You stop Kehare and then Kel. Lo yimashem milas Kel hafucha ki ilo hoisa betchilas haposik. As if it's at the beginning of the pasik. Upirush Kel Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzidkoscha Niglis is revealed geharim like the tall mountains. Shem gluyim. V'mali hafsek. If it wouldn't be for this psik, hoyim mashma acher shetelechu. In other words, v'sadu libchem acher telechu, which might mean or acher tavoiru, which means Now there's no time to go and sit and eat meals. You want to catch the train, you want to catch the bus, the caravan. Sadalibchem acher tavoiru. First travel 2 miles, and then afterwards you'll eat your sadalibchem. So that's why you have to have the psik to say, no, sadalibchem acher, and then tavoiru. So tell you that this is in chronological order. Same thing as the Gabe Tisogir Miriam, acher tiyosef. Not that after the Tiyosef Tisogir, but the Tisogir first and after Tiyosef. Yes, it has to be exactly. I have to go to Masha, Acher Shalechu, Acher Tavoyer, Acher Tiyosef. Kodmu Shorim, Acher Hanoignim, we might think Shanoignim Kodmu Lahem, that the Noignim, the Bali Nagina, should go first, and then the Shorim, the ones that are singing, they should go later. They have to go and say, Kodmu Shorim, stop, and then after that, Acher Kel will be the Noignim. Okay. Tzidkos v'kohorim shel kel, v'korilei ita soibim mishum dima'atri l'lamil tzibitam akriya. That as a result, you know where to stop or where to start. You don't just keep on reading straight. The hefsik tells you, stop here. So that again, that's ma'atri that beautifies the kriya, that you should understand it better. Okay, so we went through all of those cases. Now we're up to kiryam v'leik sivan. What are those kiryam v'leik sivan? That means a kri and not a ksiv. That we insert words that don't appear in the Tanakh, and we say them because we know that's part of the Masoida, which is part of the Lech Lamech Vesina. So Kiryam V'Leik Sivan, that is a Kri, that you read it V'Leik Sivan, even though the Pasuk doesn't appear. You have Pros de Belechtoi, Ish Takasha Yishal Ish Bedvar Lekin, Boim de Nimnisa, Lo de Pleita, Esther Huget Hugad, Eli da Goyren, Eli da Hasoiren, all of those Halein, Kriyan V'Loi Kosvan. Now, what are all these psukim? We have the benefit over here of the Torah Ora Shalem, but here in our Gemaras, he doesn't identify which of those words are extra, which are not extra.
Usually it's in brackets in the... Exactly. In the
new Oyez Vahad Gemaras, they do it. They did a beautiful job. So if you go, for instance, to number 7. Number 7 is V'yach Dovid is Ha-Dad Ezer Ben Rechoy Melech Soiv, etc. B'lech Tzol Hashem Yovei Ben Har Pros. Says our Gemara that if you look up in the Tanakh, in Shmuel, you'll find that the word pros is missing. It ends up in har, but It'll say on the side, kri, read in the word pras, even though it's like sira. Same thing, ish kashe yishol, ish bedvar olikim, that's number 8, vatsasa chitoy v'shiyot v'yom mehem kashe yishol, ish bedvar olikim, that ish doesn't appear in the text, there's a blank line, you have to insert ish. And same thing, boim d'nivnisa, that's number 9, in a yomim boim yom Hashem, v'nivnisa, so that pasuk of the nivnisa here, that word boim is missing, that is kriv leksiv. Lord de Plata, Esther Huget Hugad, Eli Dagoyan, the Huget Hugad and the Agoyan, those are both in Rus. You'll find number 11 and number 12. And in fact, I just happen to have with me a Tanakh with Rus, and you'll see that there are a lot of words in Rus, and he more brings a number of other instances of words which are Kriv like Siv. You have, for instance, over here, you have this Eli, the term of love, Kosha Timri, Eli Kriv like Siv. Right. It doesn't say if you had a nach of Rus, it would be missing.
If it was a cloth, you mean?
On a cloth, right. Here
in
you
the
have
a cloth, they don't write it either on the side, in the margin?
Can you imagine? No, of course not. It's not written there, just like you don't have the kudus in Sefer Torah. Right. So this is kriv like siv, and then we have afterwards a ksiv like kri, this word im. It's written, but you don't pronounce it. You just ignore it and you move on. And so you have a whole bunch of, here again, Eli is kriv. You can't see it, and that's the reason why we want to incentivize you to come.
It's Perakimol in Megillas Rus.
Anyway, if you have a Tanakh, which we're looking at here, Megillas Rus, I'm now showing it to the audience, Brother Shai, you're not looking up. You see that's Perakimol, Kapitel Gimel, and you'll see that certain words are bracketed, and they're kriv like siv, or ksiv like kri. Anyway, you can look it up at home in your own Tanakh, and you'll see the same thing. So, getting back to our Gemara, Eli da Goyren, Eli das Oyrim, those are the two Elis that we saw that are Kariva like Siv. So these are Halein, Kariyim, Veloik Siva. And then, by the way, the Ran brings each one of these psukim as well, and he tells you which word is missing, which one is not. Okay, it's all pretty straightforward. Now, what's the Ksavan Veloik Kiryan? Then you have certain words which are written, and you don't read them. Then Nodi Yislach. Where's the Nodi Yislach? That's number 14 down below. The Pasuk talks about the Yislach. And it leaves out the word no. It's written, but you don't read it. Now, where do you have that? The Dabra Zeh, Yislach Hashem li Avdecha. Where is that word no? It's written, but you cannot read it. So, yes, that's why they leave it out. Anyway, that's not the Yislach. And then you have on the top, Zois Teha Mitzvah. Others are going, it's not Zois, but the S or S Teha Mitzvah, because there are a number of Zois Teha Mitzvahs written in Tanakh, particularly in Devarim, and each time they are written. In our Gemara it says Kosim Lekirian, we do in fact write them and we read them. So if you look at the top Ran, Zoista Mitzvah Besede Veschan and Kach Matzasi Kosov, Tlenimtza Bitzvarim Shalanu. In my Chumash, in my Sefer Torah, says the Ran, I found that it was written and we do read it. I didn't find in our Svarim any type of word which is kosu v'loi karyan. Since the Sois HaMitzvah is talking about Devarim, look throughout the Devarim, you don't have any such thing where you have a ksiv without a kri. You have certain changes, like bat choyrim and bat poilim, those types of things, you do find the changes. However, to go and find a word that is written and not read, sinishdo azazach. And then you have yidroich de hadoirich. There it says the word yidroich twice, but you only read it once. So you have it here on the side, me'elam yidroich. Number two, hadoyrech. He doesn't even bring it. So here, number two, you see, it says al yidroich hadoyrech in a proper Tanakh. Says the Ran. If you look in the second line of the Ran, yidroich hadoyrech. The Sof Yermia, yidroich hadoyrech es kashtoy yidroich sheinichsev. It says in the pasuk yidroich twice for leikri, but you only read it once.
This is dehadoyrech, by the way. It's yidroich hador is dehadoyrech and hadoyrech. Apparently.
No, the word Hadoyrech is a separate word. The word Yidrech is repeated twice. It says Yidrech, Yidrech, Hadoyrech. But we don't read the second Yidrech, we only read Yidrech, Hadoyrech. Okay, so we leave out one word in between.
There's one Hadoyrech has a dowel at the front. That's the one that's the one we guess we leave out.
If you look at number two.
Number two, the Hadoyrech with the De Hadoyrech with the dowel is the one that's missing. That's the one that...
Slow down. El Yidroich Hadoyrech. Do you see that?
I do. And I see in the Gemara, Yidroich De Hadoyrech, with the Dalet. So that's the one that's trapped, right?
De Hadoyrech means of the Pasuk in which the word Hadoirich appears.
Thank you. That's not a quote. That's not inside the quotes.
Just
thank,
like
you're, answer, you're ending my confusion. Thank you.
Look right before that. Zois teha mitzvah. There's no pasuk that says zois teha mitzvah. There so are psukim that says ha mitzvah, and right. There are psukim that our Gemara is telling us the word zois is written, but it is not read. Which zois is that? The zois of the pasuk. Hamitzvah.
Thank you.
No problem. So thank you. The extra dollar is just
you.
Okay.
By the way, that was a real question that you answered. Okay. It wasn't.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah. I'm glad. So now we have Chomish to Pa'as Negev. So what is Chomish to Pa'as Negev? There too, the word Chomish is written twice. If you look at the next round, Chomish to Pa'as Negev, the Seif Yecheskel, the Eilam Midoisea, Chomish Meois, Varba'as Alofim, Chomish Eriksiv, Fulaykri. The second Chomish is written, but you do not read it. If you are looking in a Yecheskel, if you're laning it, you're reading it, you leave out the second one, you don't read it. And then you have Im Dechig Goyo. That brings us back again to the Rus, which we looked at before. Va'at ki omnam ki goyol anoichi v'gam yesh goyol karu mimani. Where is that ki? The ki of the pasuk, the ki goyol, halein kosvan, it's written v'leikari, but you don't read it. And then Omrev Chacha, that mention will be continued tomorrow on other related types of inyanim. Have a wonderful day. Baruch HaBatzlacha. All the best.
Because the word...